Hello.
Welcome back to the Bible Study Girl podcast. I am Sarita. You may know me as Bible Study Girl. The first hello you heard and welcome was from the executive producer of this podcast, Bible Study Brother.
It is I, Bible Study Brother, but I'm also known as Icarus Gray over at Gregory Anime. But this is the most wonderful podcast of your day. Go listen to my album Gray Matter and subscribe to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/IcarusGray. But also get our numbers up to 100 so I can say the same thing for us.
So excited and so glad to be back today. If you're this is your first time listening, I'm just going to give you a brief overview and let you know that Bible Study Brother and I are reading through the book Boundaries. It's a New York Times bestseller. It was written by Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. John Townsend, and it is a Christian exploration of boundaries, what healthy boundaries look like, and how we can establish boundaries. So I said it was an exciting time. I'll also say it's a challenging time. This book is not an easy read. And I mean that in the sense that it is not, it's not like a book you read when you're going to lay around on the beach and you want to relax. There's no, I mean, you might get a few chuckles from some of the real life or some of the examples in the book, but it's not light reading. It's reading that causes you to think. It is, It's a book you read when you're ready to do some self-work. And Bible Study Brother and I suppose are ready to do some self-work. So today we are reviewing chapters 3 and 4. Chapter 3 discusses boundary problems. And then chapter 4 really breaks down how boundaries are developed and gives a deeper look into the way that you can develop boundaries. Okay.
You know what's crazy? Bad sign language thing for me. You guys can't see this, but I was giving sign language. And then I realized I can use the chat.
Yes, you can use the chat to talk to me because you were looking like those people that don't know sign language that are like faking and pretending. And there was no way on God's green earth that I was going to be able to.
Okay.
Figure out what you were talking about. But yes. I thought I was clear with what I said to you, brother, but clearly I was not. Okay, so anyway, we'll talk off air. So we are doing chapters 3 and 4 today together. It's a combo episode. Enjoy us discussing boundaries. And how we live with them and how we live recklessly without them. So is there anything you wanted to say before I get started with my questionings?
No, just this book will read you for the filth. I mean, it exposes you. Like every time you think you feel confident about this is what someone did to me or I've had this happen. Immediately by the next sentence, you're like, oh, wait, hold on. But that's me, or this is me, or that's me, or like this is my responsibility, or this is whatever. This has been rough. But yeah, that's it.
You know, I've shared before, if you haven't gone back to listen to chapters 1 and 2, we did chapters 1 and 2 separately, very meaty chapters. Every chapter is meaty, but. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so I shared that when the first time I ever read this book, the first time I read it halfway and I quit because I saw myself in the book and I was not at a point that I was ready to do something different, to have a different result, to have a different life, to have a different experience. So I just stopped reading it, like, you know, but once you know better, then you're held responsible for it and you're supposed to do better. So the second time I opened up the book to read it, I was in a better place mentally and I was in a place where I was ready to work. I think going back through this book again has been very valuable to me. One thing about me, I like to do things on repeat. If I'm going through something in life, you can tell by the song that is on repeat in my car. I will listen to the same song over and over and over again. It's just my thing. And I use it to help me process. And I do the same thing with the books. Books that have been impactful for me, I will read them over and over again, like the Bible, because you get new revelation, new insight every time you read something, because you're in a different place. And so it's been interesting for me to go back through this book to look at the answers that I had the first time I've gone through the book and to see how, yes, I have been working on boundaries. Yes, I have been trying, I have been working on being a healthier person, but even in that pursuit, I've dropped some bad habits and picked up some not great habits along the way to kind of compensate as I'm transitioning to healthier habits, healthier boundaries, healthier guidelines. So it's been a great reread for me. It's definitely not been an easy reread, but it's been a great reread and a great reminder to me of the areas that I need to improve. I've said it before and I'll say it again. 40 for me, I believe, is the year of transformation, a year of renewal. The children of Israel wandered around in the desert for 40 years because they didn't learn the lesson. They kept making the same mistakes. And so I'm being intentional this year to learn the lesson, to stop making the same mistakes. And I'm excited to see where I am when 41 comes knocking at my door, if the Lord is willing. I mean, he might move me on up to glory. But in case he doesn't move me on up to glory this year, I'm doing everything I can in my power to be able to live a joyful life. My bestie often says, one of her greatest desires is to be able to experience peace on this side of heaven, to not live a life that's full of turmoil on this side and only get to experience peace on the other side. And I've taken that to heart for myself as well. I want to experience true peace on earth, whatever that looks like. And I believe that the way that I can get it is by being open and listening and using all the resources that God has given me on this side of earth to make it the best experience possible. So that's my spiel for overall chapters 3 and 4. They're very good, very meaty. So the first question I have for you, brother, I'll let you answer first and then I'll tell you what I thought and what I got from reading. So chapter 3 talks about a variety of different boundary problems that we have. For example, you can be compliant, you can be avoidant, you can be a controller, you can be non-responsive. So while reading through that chapter, which problem do you think you have the most difficulty with in your life?
It's a tie between compliance and non-responsiveness.
Okay.
And I think that's more of a result of like how I feel I was raised, in a sense that I did feel a lot of the compliance that if I did not do something, it would make someone mad or upset. But then I was also non-responsive because that was also the only way I knew how to set a boundary on the opposite end, was to just be like, all right, whatever. I mean, I was told, put dirt on it or whatever, or move on, or just immediately disconnect and detach. Because sometimes that would be what I got. So on a day-to-day, it's going along and feeling like, well, dang, I don't really want to say no to somebody about this, or say no, hey babe, we can't do this, or we really have to do this because I don't want to upset her, or I don't want to upset anybody around me. I'm getting better at it, with us, but also still kind of learning, like, okay, if I got something going on, or if I got something I need to change, I know I can say that this is a safe space. between us, and I don't have to worry about that. So for me, those are the two that are relatively fighting for first place.
I think it's interesting. We both have two that are very much present in our lives. And I love chapter three because they give a summary of the boundary problems and they make it very simple and easy for you to figure out. There's a chart. You can look at the chart. And so my first issue is that I am a controller. I can't hear no. And typically that shows up in my relationship with God. A lot of times I won't ask God for something because I don't want the answer to be no. And even when he tells me no, oh baby, that raises my hackles, whether I asked him or not. That is definitely an area I need to grow in. It's been that way for a long time. I don't think I'm that way as much with people telling me no, but I'm gonna tell you my other problem that it will make sense when I talk about it is that I am an avoidant because I can't hear yes. That means I set a boundary against receiving good from people. I want to, I think I'm always just trying to protect myself. And so that's why I don't want to ask God for things because I don't want him to say no, right? But I also am not going to ask things of people because I guess I don't, I don't want to feel like I'm dependent on them or like they've got one over on me or something they can hold over me. And I'll give you a perfect example. When I had surgery earlier this year, I was out. And before the surgery, I would say I was a bit delusional. Okay.
A bit.
I knew I wasn't going to be able to go to work. But still in my mind, that didn't mean that I was going to have to depend on people. Okay. I had decided. I knew like immediately following surgery, I was not going to be able to do anything. Okay. And so mom was like, it'll be easier if you come stay with me. Cause you know, grandma wanted to come help me, all that stuff. Cool, cool, cool. Mama's house is bigger. She has more beds and baths than I, well, we have the same number of bedrooms, but she has more bathrooms. Her house was just easier for me to be at and to recover, right? So in my mind, I set a timeline. I'll stay with you. Okay, originally I was like, I'll stay with you for a week and then you're going to have to, I'm going to go home. Even though I knew I was having major surgery, my thought was, I never even considered the fact that I wouldn't be able to drive. It never crossed my mind. In my mind, you know, you're going to give me these drugs. Now, mind you, I can't drive of the drugs. I'm a lightweight. We've talked before about how I'm not a drinker. I take half a pain pill. I'm out for the day, yo. I definitely don't need to be driving. None of these things were factoring in my decision-making process because I didn't want to have to be dependent on anyone. Not that my mama makes me feel like I'm a burden. She doesn't. My grandma doesn't make that. My grandma doesn't make me feel like I'm a burden. They don't. It's not on them. It's on me. And it's on me wanting to, I don't know, just do it all and take care of it. And I don't want to, I guess I don't want to get my little feelings hurt and be let down. So, man, this is how delusional I was. I planned to go out to dinner. 10 days after surgery, I'm driving myself. You know, I listen and didn't tell the people I'm going out to dinner with. You know, I'm having surgery, so I might not be able to go. I'm just like, hey, it's life, baby. I'm still independent woman over here. So, which I did end up going out to dinner. It wore me down like you would not believe. I didn't drive myself. My mama dropped me off at the door and came and got me like an hour later. Anyway, but I gave that long example, that long story to say I'm an avoidant. I can't hear yes. I can't hear yes. You are going to help me. It makes me vulnerable. It leaves me in a place of, yeah, it makes me feel very, very vulnerable. So those are the two boundary problems that I am currently struggling with.
What's funny is all of the others do make appearances, but like, because I was thinking about that, like the controlling thing, like it's a funny one for me because I be knowing and I hate it because I am used to it being done to me. And so I know, like, I was very adamant about, like, knowing somebody doing something. Like, I know, I mean, I know what I can say. And I joke because our mother does it in her own way. And all, you know, all mothers have the same way, but it's still their own way in the way that they do it at times. And so, you know, I was thinking about that and I was like, man, I was like, but yeah, it's really just the other two in terms of how I respond. Because it, thinking about like how you respond with boundaries or how you equip with boundaries as we work through this book, gives me that codex to kind of know, okay, this fits in this category. This is why this is bad. This is what I was doing wrong with it. This was the good attributes of whatever it was, and this is how I need to start working through it. And like currently, because it feels like a mountain, because you just keep like, oh, okay, I got that. I do that. Oh, I've seen that. You know,
Right.
but nowhere in this book, the best thing about this book is that every time, and I don't know if it's just me, but when I read the problem, I immediately started getting anticipating the solution. But the thing is, they can't just put a solution because then if you're one of those people, then instead of spiritually figuring out the ways that you need to answer, you'll just do what the book says.
Correct.
And I was like, it blew my mind today to realize, like, dog, I sure be wondering what happened to old Wendy or this person or whatever. And I'm like, oh no, like I for a story purpose, I want to know, but then I also understand you can't because there are people who will just do whatever and
Yeah,
like,
check. Check. Okay, I'm doing this and now I gotta do this. Check, check, check. It caused this book really causes me to think, and that's one thing I love about it. It's a challenging read. Like I said before, it's a challenging read. It's not just yeah, kick back with your cup of coffee. It really makes you think. And I think at times I know at times we can all experience different portions of the boundary problems that are presented in the book. I don't think the book is the be all end all. One thing though I do love about the book though is that it's backed up by scripture. They're not just going off on the mouth or from the mouth or just talking. They walk you through scriptures and show you this is why this is a problem. Let me show you how Jesus handled this. This is, you know, this boundary problem. This is Jesus setting a healthy boundary for them. So I love that about that book. Okay. So, and I would love for you guys to chime in. Let us know what boundary problems you've experienced while you're reading through this book. Like, oh, this is the boundary problem that sticks out the most for me. This is the one I probably need to address the most. I'm gonna slide over. Go ahead, brother.
I was just going to ask you, what was your, before we move on to the questions for chapter four, what was your biggest takeaway from chapter three?
I think that I said it earlier, but I'm gonna say it again. As much work as I've done, there's still so much more work to be done for me. And that it's interesting to me, like I said earlier, the shifting that has taken place in my life to cause me to try to compensate in different areas instead of leaning on a healthier solution. So it's interesting for me to look up and see, oh, sis, Long way to go, sis. Long way to go. But I like it because it's shining a light on who I am and it's holding that mirror up to me and it's making me look at myself. And if anybody knows me, they should know that I'm very hard on myself and I'm always examining me. Always. I'm very aware of my faults and I'll leave it at
I
that.
still feel like we share the same too some ways, because you get and can get in that way of, I mean, yeah, the controlling aspect, I know that is stronger, but the non-responsive, like when it's just like you like, I'm not doing that. No, we not, you know, like I'm not dealing. You've grown
Right.
so much from that, because that used to be like my biggest hurt sometimes with our relationship was like, well, dang, it don't seem like she care at all about, you know, that, or you know, like this, even though you would do other stuff that would indicate differently. Because it's like, if I, again, I've told this story about you beating somebody up for me, because you don't like me being upset, angry, or whatever. It's just like, it's crazy how the boundaries can overlap and like
Oh yeah, I don't think
contradict, and you
and
know,
that's why I said I feel like everybody has, we all do different boundary problems at different times, but I think presently those are my top two right now.
okay. Well, that was good takeaways from chapter three. Now let's get into the horror movie that is chapter
And my brother shared with me that chapter four
four.
was a horror movie for him. Like, ah! Reading this
Yo,
book. And chapter four
dang.
talks all about how our boundaries are developed in life, and it takes us from an infant stage to like adulthood, like the different stages of boundaries and what that looks like, and and how we grow, right? Just the normal growth process. And it's everybody. We all growing and we're all learning and you can go cycle back through stages again. I mean, that's just part of life. That's what we do sometimes. So, it really wants you to examine your childhood and your now. So, the first question I have, brother, and I think this is an interesting question because although we lived in the same house and we grew up in the same household, my birth to five experience of growing up was completely different from yours. I was raised by my great grandmother, my great grandfather, my great aunts and uncle, because my mama was in college. And so they did the day-to-day raising and they did the day-to-day boundary setting. And then I shifted to a household with my little brother and a new stepfather and living with my mom. And I never lived with her full time before. So it's a completely different experience for me, completely different set of rules. So I'm very interested to know your perception. Okay, so what attitude toward boundaries was modeled in the home that you grew up in?
So I had to think about this for a while. And for me, it was different because of how intelligent you are. So I'm dealing with the extreme controlling aspect of you understanding what is and what's not being done and wanting to instill and being upset at me for that. I'm not knowing that that's what's going on,
Right.
but the way you act in terms of our relationship is shifting things for me and how I'm perceiving boundaries. So I'm like, okay, I'm thinking we're on the same side, but it always seems like apparently we're on different sides. I don't get it. I'm frustrated by this. On another hand, because I'm also looking for a certain level of connection and a growth of boundaries. With my father not really being there, I'm like also having these compliant abandonment issues where, okay, I just got to do whatever is going on. Then on the third end, boundaries in terms of kind of being able to do what I wanted to do, but at the same time, like never feeling confident in it because it never felt like the stuff that people wanted me to do. So I didn't feel like, okay, I'm setting a boundary that this is something that I want to do, but I'm also not feeling like it's respected. Like, I'm doing this, and everybody seems to think this is stupid because it's not what they would do. And instead of like kind of encouraging me to kind of like figure it out or let's work this out, I'm now in this state of like this overprotective aspect from my mom, but then this angriness from my sister because of the differences, and then an absence from my father and not knowing like, well, just I'm over here like, well, just tell me what to do and I'll do that if it gets us to hang out, you know, and kind of in a way I'm feeling, you know, doing it from in a way with both of y'all at that point of like your own, you know, stepping out for yourself to go and do stuff. So those three aspects from y'all three were different for me because like I'm learning a bit of compliance from mom, learning a bit of controlling aspects from you because there are things that you want from me. And then the absence in that sense of my father, even though like he was in the home, I'm not getting these like, okay, this is what you, you know, like you want to do this. You got to, you know, you got to kind of be a man and take the time to do that, have patience for that. And so it's all over the place. So it's hard to even grasp a centralized thought of what a boundary is to solidify it because I'm like halfway between everything. I don't have enough confidence to fully set the boundary, though I'm confident enough in terms of how God created me to like not really listen to everything that people are saying. But then I don't have that foundational backing like, well, yeah, you should sift this through this. It's like, no, you just wrong. And so then I'm like half confident because I know that whatever it is I'm feeling is the thing that I need to be doing or whatever. But I'm also now feeling like I'm going to get abandoned because of that. So now my whole confidence on that is waning. So, yeah.
You know, I think it is so interesting. That's why I said I wanted to hear your take on what boundaries was growing up in the home, because we do come from two completely different dynamics. Mm-hmm. Like those formative years for me, like I said, I was with my great grandmother and my great grandfather. And life functioned in a more structured routine. Mm-hmm. I had a very structured routine. We would get up in the morning. My patron would make breakfast for Daddy Hersey. We have coffee. We sat at the table. You know, it was routine. We did breakfast. We did lunch. We did dinner. After breakfast, I would sweep the floor in the kitchen. You know, like it was very structured. We would go out and do stuff, and I would do stuff with other members of my family, or I would go spend the night with them. But I had a consistent routine. I knew what to expect. And to go from that, okay, so I had a specific routine. I knew what the expectations were of me. I felt safe. Like, I knew what to expect. And if you know anything about me, you know, I need to know what is we doing? What are we getting into? I'm definitely a planner. And so to go from that, and also being around adults all day, right? I was a kid. I had my other cousins that are a little bit older than me, Tamika and Kevin and Lukey. I would hang with them, you know, kick it with them. But my world was pretty small and contained, right? Mm-hmm. To move into Little Rock, and the world was not small and contained. Didn't know everybody everywhere. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It was a whole new world.
Initially.
I had to go to aftercare after school. That was not, listen, you know, that was not with all these folks that I don't want to be with. You know how I feel about new people. I've never lived with my mama before. I've never lived with my stepdad before. And a little baby, you know, it's a lot. It's a lot for a kid. And then to try to figure out where I belong. Do I fit in? You know what I'm saying? Because I'm the outsider here. And mama worked a lot. She had a lot of jobs. So it was me, you, and daddy at the house.
Yeah.
Eating tuna for dinner, man. Or breakfast for dinner.
Dog, but that changed so quick for me because I don't even know if you realize this. Like, so mama has been a constant. Her constant was working and working, right. working. And then, but like, you know, and making those times where we had to spend time together. But for me, everybody was hitting this place of like their own personal boundaries at the time. So by the time I'm really coming into my, you know, whatever, the same spaces that you're coming into, you're a teenager by then, so you don't want to be around me, so you're gone.
Right.
You know, like, you didn't wheel back around until, you know, late in my...
late in your teens.
Well, actually, at the start of my teens, because it's like 13 to wherever, because technically by then you 18, so it's in that point. But that, for me, that's late, because it's late in your teens.
Right.
You know, my dad was my dad, and he was always doing, I'm here for me. I'm out doing what I got to do. I'm teaching. I'm doing whatever.
Right.
And so for me, there was so much time that was just me.
And it was.
Like, way more time than I think people, like, and I'm like, well, I don't know what y'all wanted me to do, because I'm not getting nothing from nobody. And by the time I start to, it's in these strange ways. Then the divorce happens, and then it's just like, I'm like, what is going on? I don't even know. I don't know who or what I'm supposed to do.
And that paints a really different, I mean, it gives me very much perspective into all the problems that we've had. Our experiences with boundaries were so different. You know, I think I spent so many years of our family trying to recreate my early years, mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Wanting it to be that.
Oh, and to note, like, you know, one of the biggest things that happened in your life that we had to make changes about, I never got explanation on. So then there were changes made around me in terms of boundaries and stuff. I don't know what's going on. I'm just now not feeling love because I don't get to do the things that you did.
Correct. And so I will say, you know, we've talked about this before. I don't think, not specifically in great detail, but like, once I was ready to talk about being molested, mm-hmm. and once I told my mom what happened to me, well, boundaries were set in place. We're not going to hang with them anymore. But it caused you to miss out on experiences with family. And of course, nobody sat down and explained to you, well, this is why we're not going around. This is why we're not doing that anymore. You know, your sister's been violated. We don't, you know. And so that definitely created, I know, problems in the family.
Yeah, because I be thinking about that today. Like, even still, it's like these big pockets where I'm like, dang, am I loved by my family? Because I didn't really get to spend that same kind of, like, but there's a timing thing in terms of time you got to spend versus time I got to spend. And I've learned, like I said, more of my connection to people and how they love me. Like, I talk about Tamika's stuff a lot and the stuff that she would do that clearly let me know I was still her baby, but that I didn't notice until after. Because anything I ever asked Tamika for, she did. And I hardly asked for a lot. I would just be asking for rides or to go around and, like, you know, the fact that the entire time that I've done music, she was always my biggest, without a caveat of anything, supporter. It didn't. I just said I was doing it. And, you know, the fact that, shout out my dog, Darrell, always was talking to him about the music and stuff and just being overall proud of the stuff that I was doing in terms of when I brought her. Like, I remember we were at Baptist for something. I don't remember what it was. It might have been something. I don't think it was something with A. Linda, but we was up there for somebody. And I remember we was in the waiting room. It was like off to the right. And I brought the mixtape up to her. And I think I gave her a copy. And I don't know. I'm pretty sure she listened to that way more than I ever have thought in my life. But I don't know. It just meant a lot. Random statement. That ain't got nothing to do with boundaries. But yeah.
Your grief journey.
It did. It hit, bro. We was talking about this off air, y'all. I'm having a hard grief day. And
And it
so,
happened,
yeah.
brother, you know, it definitely happens to me, but I'm also a person that don't reach out for help. So
Exactly. We see. Well, there we go. Thank you, sister. You brought it back around. Well, you
yeah,
need
I'm
to. You
bringing
and you
it
can. You feel free
back. I realize that I can, and it is definitely an area I need to
to
work on. I think I, yeah, that takes a lot of, and I'm gonna say this too,
do.
like speaking of boundaries and me not wanting to reach out for help, I've been very intentional about going to therapy in my 40s, because you know I'll go for long periods of time. He'd be like, "You coming back?" And I'd be like, "Well, you know me." Yeah. But
Do you think it's you?
in one of my more recent sessions, since I've been reading this boundary book, I was talking to him about the fact that I don't let people in. Like he talks me through just different circumstances and experiences that I'm having in life. But I was telling him, you know, like the big things that I don't want to talk about, I just don't talk about. You know, I hold them close to my chest. Like I don't want to let them go. And he's like, "Well, I'm not going to pry it out of your hand, but I'm here, you know,
I
for us to
almost
really."
forgot what podcast we was recording. And listen, y'all, this podcast is just a pure testament of growth in the fact that we can discuss things with y'all in a very professional light. Because trust and believe, we don't always sound like this. But continue, because I had a joke.
100%.
Oh,
I
I had
don't
a
ever
joke.
sound like this.
Golly, I had a joke.
I had said to myself, you know, self, I don't know. Anyway, but the thing is, he was telling me, you know, he was like, "I'm not gonna pry it out of your hands. We can talk about those things. We can go deeper, but you have to be willing to give it up. Like, I can't make you. Like, you have to be willing to give it up." So I'm on a process of being more willing. And I've been seeing him for years. I just, it take me a minute, y'all. It take me
But that's growth in the journey. Like you just talked about the Israelites and them 40 years, bro. Like it's hard to break habits. And even after they
it is.
quote unquote broke habits and got to where they were supposed to be, they started breaking habits again.
Right. I mean, it's all a process. It's all a growth journey. I'm so glad that we're reading the book together, though, because it really does give me insight into our relationship and into how we have become the people that we are today. You know, this is like a fake therapy session, but it's really brought it's brought a lot of issues and a lot of facets to light, and it's shined a light on, I think, some dark areas in our relationship.
Like y'all,
A
we
little
just did
bit.
that recap of the first episode, and I keep telling Gunnar, I was like, man, you know how crazy it was to do this episode? I'm thinking we here and then we do an episode, you know, some a good time deal later, and I'm like, we wasn't even that far. Like
All right.
you wasn't thinking, I didn't know that you was still da 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 da. You was just being compliant in that way, and us not like talking through a thing, but like praise be to God that there was still all of these different blessings and where we were to see where we are now. That is the one thing that I do appreciate about this, because I'm able to look at those experiences, understand those experiences a bit better, and explain them better to you. So that way it just doesn't seem like, you know, how many years the roughest thing of conversation in terms of boundaries with you and mom specifically, because my dad is just avoidance. In terms of his boundary settings. But y'all, like, I would live, like, the only reason I think I wanted to be a lawyer subconsciously was to be able to get to a
Argue
point to
with
where
us.
I could prove to y'all what I was saying with all the facts that I needed and win my case. Because when I say, in regards to like stuff like that, my boundaries wasn't respected. Ooh, God. Like, I get so triggered, I get triggered real easy. If I think somebody is just placating and not listening, oh no. Now I got to pull out my scalpel, and the power of life and death is in the tongue, and now I got to start speaking death, because you don't want life. You don't want the light. You want the other side of this. And you know, kind of seeing it from a different perspective of understanding, well, you didn't set your boundaries correctly. And you also didn't necessarily know how, and that's like on you to take that responsibility. But in your developmental stages, there were things that didn't show you the uncomfortable work of that.
Right. And I think the great thing about this is he's laying the foundation. So if you want to have kids, if you are a parent currently, if you don't read any other chapter in the Boundaries book, go to chapter 4. I think it will, like I said, it shined a light on some dark places. I think it will shine a bright light on how to establish healthy boundaries for your children and really for your family structure as a whole. The purpose of this recap.
Moms, don't read it if you're not ready for some stuff.
Right.
Like,
It
cause,
does shine a
oof.
light. And I will say, the reason we're recapping these chapters is not to go through them every line and to tell you all of our stories, but really just to show you how much a simple conversation, a simple examination of what's healthy and not healthy in your life can change your life, impact your life. I also want to shout out every listener that takes the time out to listen to us every week. Podcasts come and go. We were on an extended hiatus because of grief. I wasn't doing nothing for nobody. But we're back, and I'm thankful that you guys listen every week. It means a lot to me, and it also helps push me to keep going and keep doing what God told me to do, even when it's uncomfortable, even when it's inconvenient, because baby, we was recording this in the midnight hour, because it has to get done. I'm grateful, and I really hope and pray that you are getting something helpful from the podcast, because we're not doing it just to twiddle our thumbs or to have something to do. I feel very convicted, and I feel like this is part of my purpose. And so that's why I push to make sure that it continues to happen. So I am grateful that you take time out to listen, and I appreciate everyone that comments, everyone that reaches out and says, hey, or ask a question. It means a lot.
Yeah. And I thank each and every one of you. I remind everybody that the Bible Study Girl Instagram account is shared by the executive producer and the talent. That's not a shot. That's just setting a boundary that I will set the boundary for you if you don't set it on yourself.
He's just letting all the bachelors out there know when you put in your application through DMs, he's reading them and
Oh, I'm checking all your
shredding.
applications.
He's shredding.
Immediately. If I don't like it, it's going into the trash bin. Trust me. If you don't like it, you don't like it. That's a boundary you got to work on, partner. But if you would like to actually get in contact with us about things regarding the podcast, you can see all of those links and stuff down in the description.
They can fill out an application online, on the DMs. I'm not opposed to that. You're the one with the issue. I have to
Okay.
have a man to have kids, so
Okay. Yeah, no, like you said, you baby, you ain't gotta set no boundaries. I got you. It's fine. You do whatever. I do my job, you doing yours. I got you.
okay.
So down in that description, before she say something else crazy and I don't respond in a godly fashion, y'all can reach
You
out to
almost forgot
us.
what podcast you on.
Girl, I did. Don't make me do it. Because they not ready to, they just like, oh my gosh, it's such a strange thing for people to know the, like, I also now realize there are people who know the real Joe, and then there are people who know professional guy, the compliant guy who's working on that, and as I lessen that and get myself together better, it's gonna get
Listen, if y'all want prayer requests, I definitely will
better.
pray for you again.
But hit
If
us up for those
an elder
prayer
bachelor wants to
hit
do
us up for those
that.
prayer requests at on the Bible Study Girl Facebook page, which has been growing. We want to grow to where we're able to allow you guys to help further with the growth of this podcast. So go and follow, tell your friends to follow. And there are a lot of things that we're going to be promoting over there. Or you can hit us up at the Bible Study Girl 2019 at gmail.com email for prayer requests. And if you want to come on and just talk about your walk and just kind of show people where you are, because that is very important to us. Testimony is very important to us, proclaiming the faith in ways that only you can, is one of the big purposes that I have for this podcast, and appreciate each and every one of you for contributing to that with your comments and everything else that you have. This book is taking us down through there. Bruh, like I was almost like, I don't know that I'm going to be able to do this, but I just, instead of doing that, I set the boundary, just get in here, do it.
Well, I'm proud of you, brother, for pressing through, because it's a hard read. It's not easy.
Bro, like, I promise you, I was almost going to be like, let's just do three. Because when I started reading four, I was like, oh, she got me bent. This ain't it. But I just remembered that it's not you or I that preach, but we preach.
And until we meet again, guys, keep preaching.